I gotta just warn you, today's episode is a touchy subject and one that I was hesitant to talk about, but I could not believe that when I sat down to go over the next verses that we're going to talk about in the book of John, that it was about this very subject that I had been wanting to avoid, prejudice against somebody from a different land, and how it happened to Jesus from one of his disciples was prejudiced of him because of where he came from. So as we go in today's episode, I'm going to ask you to be like Nathaniel. I'm going to ask you to have an open mind and come and see. Come and see and learn for yourself exactly what the Bible has to teach us today about how we treat those that come into our land. It's up next on She Read It Herself. Hi. How have you been? I've been away on spring break, and let me tell you, it was amazing. I took the kids. We went down to Florida to stay with my family. And it was so nice to just leave everything behind for a few days. I didn't post on social media. I didn't check emails. I left it all here at home. All of the pressures that we as busy moms face every day, taking care of the household, the schools, the pets, all of it. I just left it behind for a few days and was able to be actually present with my kids and get some sunshine and salt water, which my body needs to keep going. So it was wonderful. But now, back to life, back to reality, and back to where we left off in our scripture reading, because remember, She Read It Herself is a podcast for the girl who maybe hasn't been great about reading her Bible before, but now she wants to know for herself what it says and how it applies to her modern day life and how we can grow our foundation and our faith and our relationship with God through this wonderful communication line we have in the Bible. So we left off in the book of John, and we saw this really neat chain of events where John has been testifying, and two of his disciples then hear Jesus, and they want to go and follow him, and Andrew comes along, and he brings Simon, who then Jesus renames Peter, and now we're gonna pick up a couple more guys, and we're going to see how it connects to what I was talking about in the intro. Just hang tight. John 1. Verse 43. The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And listen to this, verse 46. "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. And just a side note, don't you love Philip's reaction? It's not a, what did you just say? Or he doesn't get angry or shame Nathanael. He just invites him to be curious. Come and see. So let's go back to verse 46. I don't know about you, but when I first read that, I had a very strong reaction. I was like, whoa, did Bro just say that? I mean, if you said that now in modern day about a country that's considered derogatory by some people, you'd be canceled, and rightfully so. I just didn't expect to see it so plainly from one of the disciples' reaction to meeting Jesus. And to really understand, just a little history side note, because I had to look this up, Nazareth in Jesus' time was considered by many, especially if you were from a larger, wealthier city like Galilee. Nazareth was considered to be a peasant town. It was a small village without a lot of wealth or means. It was a lot of just regular, everyday workers, carpenters like Jesus. And Nathanael, like probably many of us, had discounted that someone as powerful, as life-changing, I mean, world-changing, as the Messiah could come from somewhere like that. His judgments and prejudices were hindering him from experiencing God. And in fact, it's not until a few verses later where Nathanael's mind is changed. And it's only after Jesus proves himself to him. Let's keep reading. Verse 47. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, because Nathanael was curious, he was open-minded enough to come and see. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip even called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree, but you will see greater things than that." These verses left me wondering, how often do my judgments, my stereotypes, or preconceptions of people get in the way of truly experiencing God? And let me just tell you mine, because I get the plank out of your own eye first, right? When I read these verses and I sat and I thought about my preconceptions and how they could be hindering me, Holy Spirit immediately zoned in on that one. For me, it was my preconceptions about people in organized religion and the church. I've told you my story in episode 2, but just to sum up that small part, I grew up in the church and in private school, and as I got older, I really didn't like the way my church changed. As it grew in wealth and notoriety about who was coming to service, it really just felt like the focus was on the glamour and the wealth of the church, and at the same time, they were preaching so much fire and brimstone towards the gay community, and I really didn't like organized religion, and I left it for a good 20 years. But after I started reading my Bible again and having an open mind as to how I could seek and grow my relationship with God, I realized I do need a church community. God wants us to have a community and to be with like-minded believers, to have that support from one another. And I was hindering myself by keeping this preconception about the church and organized religion. I was hindering how I could grow if I kept that harsh judgment that all people from organized religion were judgmental and jerks. So I started seeking out a new church and tried to get rid of that judgment I had and could really see how I was hindering myself. So that's mine. And I want you to take a minute and just think about, how could I be like Nathanael? What are my preconceptions about other people that are hindering me, that are keeping me close-minded? And if one doesn't come to mind, I urge you to pray on it and just ask, Holy Spirit, please show me what preconceptions, what judgments I have right now that are hindering my experiences with you. Just don't be surprised when he answers, because I found when I ask and I get an open mind and I say, God, show me where I'm screwing up, he tends to answer. But let's go back to Nathanael and see how maybe it applies to us now. What if we used his words? What good can come from blank? What good can come from someone from Mexico, Honduras, Venezuela? You get my point. Do we have preconceived notions about people from these countries, like they are all criminals or smuggling drugs or are lazy and have nothing to contribute to our country? Could these be limiting maybe the good that could come from there? And I know the immigration issue goes beyond just prejudices. I know that a lot of you have real legitimate fears and concerns. And I'm not here to get into a political debate. All I ask is that as a Christian, let's just do the good thing Nathaniel did. Let's be willing to come and see, to come and read for ourselves what the Bible has to say about this incredibly important topic that we're facing right now. That's okay, right? Come and see, read it for yourself, and decide for yourself. For me, sometimes in the Bible, I have to take these kind of big general commands like love thy neighbor as thyself that we're all familiar with, and then apply it to specific events in life. And in what we're reading in John, we see Jesus give the overwhelming command, above all else, love one another. We're going to see it about 100 more times as we go through the book of John. But I, for one, was actually shocked at the specificity of what the Bible has to say about not just loving one another, but loving the foreigner, which in the Old Testament, which is where we're going to see the word foreigner over and over again, that word was anyone from another land or ethnic group who moved to reside amongst the Jews. It was what we would call an immigrant, a refugee, an asylum seeker. And let me just tell you, spoiler alert, the Bible doesn't tell us just to treat them well. It says to treat them as a native to your land. Leviticus 19, which is where God has given the Ten Commandments to Moses. I mean, this is right after the honor thy mother and father, don't worship false idols, the big verses that as Christians we hold as our standards for behavior. If you keep going, Leviticus 19 and verse 34, one of the commands when God is giving Moses these laws is verse 33. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Woofty. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. That's pretty crystal clear. But if we want to keep going, let's keep going. Same chapter, Leviticus 19, verse 9. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time to pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. It's telling us don't be gluttonous. Don't keep everything that you reap for yourself. Leave some for the poor and specifically the foreigner. Deuteronomy 24:14. Do not take advantage of a hired worker who is poor and needy. Whether that worker is a fellow Israelite or a foreigner residing in one of your towns. Sure sounds kind of like a migrant worker, don't you think? And we each need to take our own personal inventory, but I know for me, right now off the top of my head, my cleaning lady has recently come into this country. The lawn guys that are cutting my lawn right now are all Hispanic. And my parents just had a contractor they hired to do work on their house. And everybody in his crew was Hispanic and didn't speak any English. And of course, everybody who's Hispanic doesn't have a recent immigration story that I'm referring to. I'm Hispanic myself, come on. But let's keep going. Deuteronomy 27:19. Cursed is anyone who withholds justice from the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow. The same principle is repeated again in Malachi 3:5. So I will come to put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. I think most Christians can probably agree that the widows, the poor, and the needy are people we're supposed to take care of. But I don't know about you. I had no idea until now that the foreigner is specifically mentioned in this group as well. Deuteronomy 10:18. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. We're commanded to not just welcome them, but to take care of them. It's certainly something to think about. And if you have a minute and you want to do some research into the Sodom and Gomorrah story, I don't know about you, but I was always taught in Sunday school that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed mostly because of sexual immorality and depravity. Like they were just a bunch of gluttonous, self-seeking, immoral people that were just all having sex with each other. And that's why God destroyed them. I had no idea Ezekiel 16:49 would explain a reason too. Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and the needy. It's the same thing over and over again. And I know sometimes in the Old Testament, it's not relatable. And there are parts that we can say it was a different time back then. It doesn't apply. But with what we're reading in John, we keep hearing over and over to love one another. And I just want you to think about, what if Jesus isn't disregarding the Old Testament, but he's building upon this precedent of taking care of the foreigner? And he's taking it a step further by emphasizing that how we treat strangers indicates whether we are his followers. As his disciples, he says we're supposed to invite the stranger in, to take them in, to take care of them. Maybe just think about what happened in Matthew and that it could relate as well, where an angel of God told Joseph, take Mary and Jesus and flee to Egypt. Leave Bethlehem, flee to Egypt so that you can escape the judicial law that Herod put into place to kill all of the male children under 2 years old. They were literally seeking asylum in Egypt to run from the horrible decree of a dictator. Thank goodness they weren't turned away and told to go back to where they came from. I want to say again, I know this may not be easy. And I 100% get why it's scary. What about jobs? How will we support these people? Will there be an increase of crime and drugs? But what if, as Christians, we're called to a higher standard with these commands, and then we're instructed to act on faith? Remember the disciples wondering, how are we going to feed all these people when we only have 2 loaves of bread and some fish? But Jesus told them, follow my command and act on faith. What if we just follow these commands that are clearly written and then act on faith that God will provide? So there you go. Hopefully you made it through this episode with an open mind, open ears, and an open heart. I know I say this every time, but thank you for being here with me. I don't want this to ever be a lecture. I want this to be a community of like-minded women of faith who are doing it for themselves, reading it for themselves, and making a change, because we can do that together. You lift me up, and I hope this lifts you up in return. If you got something out of this, if you want to, please share it with a fellow woman of faith so we can build up this community. And if you wouldn't mind hitting that follow, subscribe, so you get all these episodes right when they come out. And if you have a second, leave a positive review, because then Apple will promote this show and hopefully we can grow our little community. Till next time, my sweet friend, sending you so much love, and thank you for the love you send in return. Bye.